we're back. Oh my God, I can't believe that we're back. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. This is the Anything and Everything Sports Podcast. My name is Mr. Leon, and I want to say thank you to start this second episode. The first one, it was a success with six people. So I really want to say thank you to all six people that downloaded the podcast. And overall, two or three people actually listened to it online. So I want to give thanks to all nine of you. I mean, I know I sound sarcastic, but I really do want to thank you for your time. And if you took the time to listen to the podcast, I really appreciate you listening to me because there's a lot of stuff going on right now in the sports world. And I know that I'm mostly concentrated on a couple of NBA items mostly and just a little bit of MLB. However, this particular episode, episode number two, will focus entirely on the NBA. And the reason being is because there's just a lot going on in the NBA right now. And you got so many storylines that need to be talked about. And I know you hear them from the media and the like. However, I think, you know, people like to listen to sports from a real fan's perspective. And that's what I'm here for. I'm here to give you that a fan's perspective. So again, I wanted to end this first segment by thanking all of you that listen to the podcast. And please, word of mouth is basically how these things get started. So if you could pass the word on if you liked the podcast, and even if you didn't, if you thought it was a crappy podcast, I mean, heck, I mean, I can take it. I want to apologize for it being so long between episodes. I was telling to a friend of mine the other day how I started this, and he asked me, well, when are you going to do the next episode? I said, well, I don't know. I've got a lot of stuff going on between my regular day job, you know, stuff at home. I'm a married guy with a couple of kids. So this is really just kind of took off on its own. And I really didn't want to lose the notion of what I was doing. And I want to do this. So from the bottom of my heart, I accept my apologies. And I will try to make episodes more often. So anyway, going into the sports part of this, which is the thing that you are here to listen to. Of course, you know, as I said, we're going to talk mostly NBA here. And what better way to start with what's going on with the Golden State Warriors? I mean, talk about a team that right now is just definitely on a tear. I mean, they're 23-0 right now, and it is unbelievable the way this team is playing. And today is December 19th. It's a Wednesday. Last night I had the chance to watch them against the Indiana Pacers on NBA TV. And they, even though it got close there in the end, but the way this team just jumped ahead in that second quarter, right before the half, it's just outstanding. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. And I don't think anybody's really ever seen anything like it. The way this team moves the ball, the way this team defends, even though their defense last night was a little bit shaky, but it's just the overall performance of this team is amazing. And just, you know, it's winning streak so far at 23. Other people, other media is saying, you know, oh, they're up to 27 because they're counting the playoffs and whatnot. I don't care about that. I care about when they started this year fresh, anew. 23-0, that's great. Now, obviously, talking about that, and later on we'll talk about each conference and which team is good, you know, which teams in each conference is doing a good job. But you look at the standings right now, in the West specifically, you've got obviously Golden State at number one and San Antonio at 18-4. 18-4 is nothing to sneeze at. So just take that and process it for a minute. I mean, we're talking about 22 games into the year. They've only lost four games, four out of 22. Not taking anything away from Golden State, obviously. 23-0, that's an amazing feat. Not even the best record in the NBA, that 7-2-10 Chicago Bulls team, can say that they started the season 23-0. But 18-4 for San Antonio has been done tremendously, once again, by Greg Popovich and company. And it all starts with Greg Popovich.
the way he prepares his team, and the way this team, again, they move the ball, they know how to play, they know where to get the right guys in the right spots in order to get the team going. And the other night, I know they were playing against the 76ers, but still, they throttled them. They were without Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and I forget who else. And they absolutely dismantled the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, you know, talking about Philadelphia here, who's 1-21. Yet, you know, when you've got two professional basketball teams playing against each other and one of them just goes off and throttles the other one, you got to take notice, whether from the good side or the bad side. It's still a huge, huge undertaking. And I mean, 119-68 was that final score. That's insane. I mean, to look at and see a team play so well, and then at the other end of the spectrum, see another team play so terrible, so poorly, it's amazing to watch. So while Golden State is obviously putting the headlines out there right now, you know, people are talking about them. They're the Warriors, you know, 23-0 defending champions. Got Stephen Curry, who's just on a tear right now. But people, you know, you can't really overlook the San Antonio Spurs. And, you know, one of the things that I was listening to a podcast the other day is how Golden State, over this first 23 games, has really avoided, obviously, San Antonio, obviously, Cleveland. They'll get to play here Christmas Day against Cleveland, which in a lot of people's mind, that's the game where they could probably make it all the way through undefeated. And that is their first true test against a team like Cleveland. Obviously, LeBron James 100%, you know, you might get Kyrie Irving back. Who knows? I mean, there's some rumors to that, you know, as Kyrie Irving's getting a little bit more momentum into it. But look at this schedule for Golden State. Obviously, like I said, last night they beat the Indiana Pacers 131-123. They've got Boston in a couple nights here on the 11th. They're in Boston. They're in Milwaukee on the 12th, so back-to-back right there. Then they get basically a 3 days rest on the fourth day. December 16th, they play at home against Phoenix. December 18th, they get Milwaukee visits them in Golden State. The 23rd, they play against Utah at home. And then on the 25th, obviously, they play on Christmas Day, the Cleveland Cavaliers. 13-0 right now. 23-0, I beg your pardon, right now. So that's basically five more games before they get to Cleveland. If they get to that stage on Christmas Day, they'll be 28-0, 29-0 is the record that they're looking for. It'll be interesting to see that game because Cleveland obviously is nothing to sneeze at. They're a very good team. They kind of had a little bit of an issue in the last 10 games. They're 6-4. That's a winning record, but they've had some games where they were winnable and they kind of lost them. You know, so I'm not. They're first right now in the Central and first overall in the East, but you know it's one of those things where you're kind of careful still with Cleveland because of the way that you know they're right now because of all the injuries and all that. I think LeBron James still needs to step it up a little bit, if anything, just to keep contributing the way he is and, you know, get more people involved. And I know there's some injuries there still. So it's just a matter of maybe getting the time under them. But going back to Golden State, I mean, I guess the question that needs to be asked is this the best run ever? Is this the best run a team has had in history over this, you know, 23-game span? What are your thoughts? I particularly, because it's something that I'm looking at right now, I think that that's the case, that they're in a spot right now where they're pretty good. They're definitely really good, and they're hitting their stride. They're playing great defense. They're moving the ball great. And mind you, they're doing this without their coach. They've got an assistant coach calling the shots in Luke Walton. So nothing to sneeze at either. But at the same time, are we looking at the best run ever? Is this history? Are we looking at history as we watch, you know, continue to watch them and continue to go forward with them? How are we going to do this? How are they going to, you know, eventually, when they lose, how are they going to overcome that loss if they ever lose? I mean, obviously, I don't think they're going to go undefeated 82-0. That's pretty difficult. But, you know, I am interested to see their psyche when they lose. And I want to see, not that I want to see that happen for Golden State fans out there, but it'll be interesting to see how the team fares, how they move around, how they do the things that they do after a loss. But going back to, I mean, Golden State, and obviously the question that I asked, is this the best run ever in the NBA? You know, what do we know? I mean, this team is 23-0 right now. They've had some sort of a soft schedule. And, you know, I don't want to call all the teams they play soft. But, you know, we can go through the list. I mean, you know, first game being against the Pelicans, where they beat them 111-95, beat Houston three nights later, beat New Orleans again, throttled Memphis by, 69-119, beat the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Kings, Pistons, Memphis again, Minnesota, Brooklyn, Toronto, Clippers again in L.A., beat the Bulls, my Bulls. However, that game was particularly close up until the start of the fourth quarter. So Chicago made it, you know, it was tough for Golden State until the fourth quarter. Beat Denver again, beat the Lakers, beat the Suns, beat the Kings again, beat Utah by three. Beat the Charlotte Hornets, beat Toronto again by three, beat Brooklyn, and then ultimately a couple nights ago, or last night, I beg your pardon, beat Indiana 131-123. And this game obviously seemed, the score at the end seemed close because Indiana scored 40 points in the fourth quarter when, you know, Golden State was already by I don't know how many points. So, Going back, you know, if this is the best run ever, I haven't looked to see if the Bulls run of the 90s, you know, if they had a 23-game stretch, you know, and I'll leave that to you guys out there to check out and see. And if you want to get back to me, that would be great. I don't know if this is the best run ever, but it certainly is very it's very impressive, very impressive. And this team, as they continue to do the things that they're doing, I think we can only get better overall. So I'll be expecting a heck of a whole lot from them, especially when Steve Kerr returns. Because as we all know, Steve Kerr has been out with an injury, so as I touched on earlier. So it's a little bit different. Even though the philosophy is still the same, and Luke Walton has kept that philosophy and obviously has made it very different, not different in terms of it being different, but you know, being he is a different has a different approach than Steve Kerr has, and this offense, for some reason, it seems, if it can be said that way, it seems a lot more up tempo than what it was last year. I mean, last year it was insane. This year is just out of their minds. They're great. So we just have to take a look at that down the stretch. Steph Curry is Wow. I mean, I know that I spoke about him in my first podcast, and I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to talk about him again here. 32 points a game, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Outstanding. He's making 10 field goals a game and taking about 20. And his field goal percentage is 52%. He's making 5 three-pointers a game. He averages about 11 three-point attempts per game. And he's shooting a 46% clip. He's getting to the free throw line at least 6 times a game. And he's averaged 5 mades. So he's at 90% right now in that regard. I mean, the guy is just out of his mind. And, you know, the only person you can compare this to, obviously, is a guy named Michael Jordan. He, you know, obviously retired back in 2003 after he played for the Washington Wizards for a little bit. But it's amazing. I mean, it is amazing. Nobody has had such numbers the way he has them right now. I mean, even in Jordan's, you know, best season, and you can argue which one it was. I mean, because he had a lot of seasons where he scored a lot of points, but overall, his you know, he wasn't terribly good from 3-point field goal, if you know what I mean. That 95-96 year though, where he scored 30 points, took 22 shots, made about half of them a game, 49% per game. He took almost 3 three-pointers per game, and he made about 1.5. So that's, he actually shot at a clip of 42% per game, and he shot an 83% from the free throw line. That's pretty good. That's a very good stat from Michael Jordan, and he's considered by many the best player to ever play the game. So, you know, I know it's crazy. I know it's insane to compare Curry to Jordan, but he's up there. I mean, he is right now in his, in his own ways. He's definitely established himself right now as the best player in the NBA. And, you know, my apologies to LeBron James, Kevin Durant, who just got back from injury, but this guy is just off the charts completely. And whether you like this team or not, I think you got to enjoy what he's doing. And I got to say that from a fan perspective, I've never been a fan of LeBron James. My friends that follow basketball with me know that. I hated the fact that he won 2 titles with the Heat. And I was actually a huge fan of him staying in Cleveland before he went to Miami, because I thought I'm from the old school way of thinking where, you know, I follow Michael Jordan, obviously, when he was in Chicago, and I wanted Jordan to finish his career in Chicago, and he ended up finishing in Washington because he had that stake in ownership. So it was very different for him, obviously, in the end of his career. But if you're Stephen Curry, I'm sorry, if you're LeBron James, you know, you had to stay in Cleveland. I understand that. You know, you gotta look for your own going down there and going to Miami and trying to, you know, be the best that you can be, but and grab a championship basically if you can. And you know, he won 2 titles with Miami, went to I don't know how many straight NBA finals with them. I think it was 4, or he went to 4 straight finals overall. But I just believe he should have stayed in Cleveland. I mean, he should have made it work out. He had an owner back then and now in Cleveland who was open to the idea of opening his books like he did this offseason and keeping basically the core of this team all together. So, but going back to Stephen Curry, I mean, you look at a guy, he's just out of this world. I mean, it's just outstanding the way he's playing. It's just out of his mind, and nobody seems to be able to stop him, and that's the scary part. He is definitely not a guy that you want to, you know, leave open, and you know, it's I don't know what else to say about him than gosh, I mean, if you get a chance, and yesterday they went to Indiana, and I might have had a chance to go there. I couldn't go, so I just went to I just watched it on TV, and whew, my God, it just looks amazing. He looks great. He looks, you know, very, very good, a great player overall. So, well, now that leads me to the question: is he right now better than MJ in MJ's best season, better than Michael Jordan? I don't know. You know, I just told you the numbers for Jordan in that 95-96 season, where if you get the numbers overall, I think that was probably statistically, sorry, Jordan's best year. Obviously, there were years in the 80s where Jordan, you know, like there was a 1 year in 86-87 where he averaged 37 points a game. He shot 48% from the field, but his three-point shooting was only 18%. He almost only took about a three-pointer per game and made just about a quarter. So he wasn't actually making even one per game, and his free throw, though, was great. He was taking almost 11 a game and was making 10, I apologize. And had an 85% free throw shooting percentage. So I think that statistically, the 95-96 season was probably his best overall. However, because of the 42% on three-point range and the 49% from the field overall and 82% from the line, I think that was probably his best year statistically. But I don't know. I mean, obviously, Stephen Curry, you know, averaging 32 points a game right now, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Jordan, in that 95-96 season, he averaged, here, let me give you 1 second, he averaged 6.5 rebounds a game, four assists per game. So he also had two steals, which is, you know, steals is a category that doesn't, a lot of people nowadays don't really pay too much attention to. And if you look at Curry, he averages actually 2.3 steals per game. So they have very similar numbers, and you can obviously argue that this is Curry's best year to date. So I don't know. I'm opening it up for questions, you know, and for comments from you guys. I'll put the link to the email that I'm going to open up for the podcast, and I want to read your comments if you get a chance, because I like to discuss this with you and you know, maybe give you hear you out, hear your perspective, and then I'll give you my perspective on the next podcast. But is he better than MJ on his best season? I don't know. I'd like to hear from you. My next topic is it's kind of something that I wanted to discuss, really. And that is the best teams in the league right now. We're, you could almost kind of say we're a quarter of the way through. Most teams have played at least 20 games, 21 games, and starting with the West. I'm going to start with the West because I think that's the easiest. It's very surprising, the West right now. I mean, 1 through 8, you got Golden State, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Dallas, LA Clippers, Memphis, Utah, and Houston. But here's the weird stat out of all those teams that I told you. Utah and Houston have losing records, and they're the 7th and 8th seed in the West. Utah at 9-10, Houston at 10-12. Obviously, you go up to the top, and it's Golden State 23-0, San Antonio 18-4, and then you get a bunch of teams together from 3 to 6, and you can even add Utah in the 7th spot. You've got Oklahoma City at 13-8, Dallas at 13-9. Dallas, to me, is a big surprise. A lot of people did not factor Dallas in, especially after they lost the DeAndre Jordan fiasco. Clippers at 12-9,
Memphis at 12-10, Utah at 9-10, and then Houston at 10-12. So really, from 3 to number 8, I mean, it's a crapshoot. I'll call it that. And excuse my language, but it is what it is. I mean, and then you go down the list. I mean, you got Minnesota, Phoenix, is right out at 9-13. Minnesota's 8-12. Portland is 9-14. Denver is 8-14. And Sacramento is 8-15. So these are teams that are within reach of that 8 spot right now. And, you know, I'm not talking about New Orleans or the Lakers because they've got the worst records in the conference. But it's interesting to see how the West right now, overall, the West looks like it's worse than the East. Now, I know that we're probably a little bit less than a quarter of the way through in the NBA season, or maybe a little bit over, with teams having played more than 20 games now. And I think this is interesting. Because, you know, over the past, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, maybe even more than that, the West have been the top teams, you know, in the West. And this whole, I remember last year reading a lot of the articles out of Grantland.com before they went out of business, ESPN took them out, especially from Zach Lowe and Bill Simmons and the like, talking about getting rid of the whole conference or, you know, not conference, but the divisions. And basically, instead of having two conferences, you know, and giving teams wins, just having the best 16 teams go to the playoffs and then, you know, dividing them up in some sort of way. Well, it's interesting because now the Western Conference, up to this point, I might say, looks like it's gotten worse than the East. And the East has been really sneaky. I like to call this the East the sneaky conference, because look at this. I mean, from 1 through 8, you've got Cleveland, Miami, Chicago, Indiana, Charlotte, Toronto, Atlanta, and Orlando. That's 1 through 8, and I'll give you their records. Cleveland 14-7, Miami 12-7, Chicago 11-7, Indiana 12-8. Charlotte 12-8, Toronto 13-9, Atlanta 13-9, and Orlando 12-9. So the best 8 teams in the East have winning records. I'm going to go even further. The best 10 teams in the East have winning records. Boston is at number 9 with a 12-9 record, and Detroit is at number 10 with a 12-10 record. And then you go to 3 more teams who have losing records, but it's not by much. You got the Washington Wizards at 9-10, the New York Knicks, with Porzingis at 10-12, and the Milwaukee Bucks at 9-13. Then you got the bottom dwellers right now are Brooklyn at 6-15, and Philadelphia obviously at 1-21, the worst team in basketball. What's happening here? Did the East suddenly become so good, so sneaky good, that nobody noticed? Because obviously the headlines right now is Golden State, and everybody's talking about Golden State and how great Golden State is, and how, you know, how great they are, and hey, that's the truth. You know, you got to give the Warriors their due. However, the East, there's no easy going in the East anymore. You know, last year, a lot of teams from the West feasted on the East, and the years before that, too. I mean, you had, obviously, Atlanta last year was a huge surprise to go number 1 in the East. But before that, you know, a lot of people were taken for granted. Orlando, too. Boston, obviously, when they had Pierce and Garnett, they were good. But then there were a couple years after that where they were just terrible. Detroit was terrible last year and a couple years before that. And, you know, Washington, they've been good this year. They're so-and-so. The Knicks were terrible. Milwaukee last year finally went into the playoffs, and they just got, you know, they got to get a couple things together here. They're 9-13. Brooklyn was a little bit good, but nowadays, you know, they're 6-15, and obviously Philadelphia will always be Philadelphia. But What happened? Did the tables turn on the West? Did we just get a whole different scenario in the East where teams are more competitive now and they're looking at, you know, I mean, you look at Charlotte, 12-8. Yeah, 12-8. You know, Indiana, 12-8. Obviously, Paul George has got a lot to do with that. And Paul George, you know, very, very interesting his case, because last year, of course, as you all know, he broke his leg with the Team USA, and he missed basically almost all of last year except for the very end. And then he finally comes back, and the team, they were almost at the playoffs all the way to the end. And, you know, he was so-and-so. You know, he was okay in the end for them, and he did them a lot of good. But this year, he's just gone berserk. And the only reason why they're, you know, people are only, they're not talking that much about him is because, well, there's a guy named Stephen Curry who's just killing it out there right now. But poor George, he's as much, should be as much in the MVP talk, and I know we're still too early for that. In the MVP talk, right now, I mean, than anybody else. I mean, you look at his stats this year. I mean, he's shooting 44% from the field, playing almost 37 minutes a game, 44% from 3 points, 83% from the free throw line. He's averaging 8 rebounds a game, 4.5 steals, and 28 points a game. His production this year has been phenomenal. And, I mean, I think that, you know, even though right now the Pacers, you know, they're fourth place in the East, 12-8, through their first 20 games, and that's a pretty good record for a team that basically had to change their identity. They let Roy Hibbert go, and they've got all these group of guys, you know. C.J. Miles has been a great addition to them. Monte Ellis has done a good job. George Hill is always coming along. So, and they got a couple good draft picks that look like they can contribute right away. So I think this team is sneaky good. But you can say that about almost the first 10, 11 teams in the East. What happened? When did it all change? That's what I like about the NBA and how, you know, it's the mood swings any year. You know, for many seasons we had the West being the top team, and now it looks the top conference, and now it looks like the Eastern Conference is coming on board and coming back and making it strong. So I'm glad that this is happening, that the balance of competition has, you know, become much, much better in the NBA. And I think that as the years go by, as obviously people know that the salary cap is going to go up, you know, the teams start getting a lot more players and, you know, better, put together better teams with the, what they have. And I know some teams, they're a little bit hard on their cash and how much money they spend and all that. So I think that sometimes that can be good, that sometimes can backfire on you. And the teams that do that right, you know who they are. Of course, you got a team like San Antonio, who's always in the mix, and they've always managed their finances so good, so well. So it's just a matter of time until everybody else, you know, gets caught up with this. And hopefully with the salary cap being raised here soon, you know, teams can get wise, and, you know, they can start spending money more wisely than just getting the best player available out there. And they can just put teams together that actually make sense. If you know, you talk about Golden State last year, a lot of people, you know, they didn't really think they were going to win the championship, especially against LeBron James and the Cavs, although the Cavs were, you know, without Kyrie and Kevin Love. But they still gave the Cavs a great chance because they had LeBron James. And, you know, you look at the finals last year, Stephen Curry didn't really have a good start in the finals, but other players stepped up. And that's what you want. You want guys to contribute. You want guys to come in and they can pick up where your superstar might be a little off today on a, you know, shooting the ball, but if at least he can help you on defense, that would be great. So that being said, I think the East is a sneaky conference right now. You know, I'm going to be keeping my eye very closely to this situation, because I think the East can definitely pull out the upset in terms of how many teams they have with a winning record going forward. So I think that'll be interesting going down the road. And excuse me. And last but not least, it's we're going to talk about Kobe Bryant. Obviously, you probably all heard by now that Kobe Bryant has announced that he will retire by the end of the year. And you know, from a fan perspective, I gotta admit, you know, I didn't really care too much for Kobe Bryant until these latter years of his career. I always thought he was, you know, he was kind of cocky guy. He, you know, I don't know. I don't want to go too much off the deep end here with Kobe, but Kobe, he's definitely demonstrated to be one of the top 10 best players in the history of the NBA. And if you look at his numbers, obviously numbers never lie. You're talking about 25 points a game for his career. You know, 44% field goal, 33% from three, 83% from the free throw line. Talking about 5 rebounds a game. Almost 5 assists per game. He also had a steal and a half. He's averaging a steal and a half per career for his career. So it's one of those things where, you know, you got to think about how, you know, where does he stand in basketball, in the history of basketball. And to me, I think he's right there with, you know, with the top 10 players in the NBA. And I mean, I think he's one of the top 3 shooting guards in the NBA, and a lot of people can put him in their top 5. I think there's Michael Jordan, number 1 overall in any category, any position. I think Jordan is the best player ever, but in that specific position, the shooting guard position, the 2 guard, I think Kobe is either 2 or 3. It's a big debate, but obviously Jordan to me is number 1, and you know, Kobe, he, you know, you can put him 2, 3. It all depends on whether you like the guy or not. I mean, I like Kobe a little bit. I'm not going to say I like him a lot, but his style of game obviously was mirrored after Michael Jordan, and he did a good job copying that, and he did a good job throughout his career of putting together a good career and getting to play with players that were of his caliber, you know, that were up to the challenge of playing with him, which is not an easy thing to do. So kudos to Kobe Bryant. I mean, obviously the man is a winner. 5 NBA championships, you know, after winning 2 with Shaq, you know, 3 with Shaq, I beg your pardon. You know, a lot of people thought, well, now that Shaq's gone after that whole fiasco that they had, maybe Kobe can't win without Shaq. And yes, they were a couple years there where, you know, it was kind of started to look that way, but he made the leap and he was able to get some help in the form of Pau Gasol, which was very smart. And he finally won 2 more championships with Pau. And so it's a very interesting take. It's a very interesting take on Kobe Bryant's career. And I like to hear your thoughts on his career. So I'm going to give you the email once this is done. I'll post it in the description of the episode, so I want to hear your comments on Kobe as well. Kobe will be remembered well in the NBA, so I think it was a good call for his part to finally call it a career. I think he saw the writing on the wall. I think he saw that he wasn't, you know, playing at the highest level, and that I think he knew it was time to go. So I think he made the right call now, and you know, now he can get the ceremonies that he, you know, truly deserves in all the cities around the NBA. So I think it's a great idea that he did this way. So I'm gonna look forward to when he comes to Indiana. Hopefully I can be there at that game. If not, you know, I'll watch it on TV, and I'll be happy with that. So farewell, Kobe Bryant. I think you were one of the top 10 players in the NBA, and We were very lucky to have seen him in his prime and playing the way he played throughout his career. So, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. That's it. That's all I got. We ran down through, you know, how good Golden State record is. If this was basically the best run ever that you've seen in the 23-game period, please, on the email, send me your comments. Send me what you think, and I'll read them here next time we talk. We ran through some of Stephen Curry's stats. I asked the question of if he's better than MJ in MJ's best season. So I'd like to hear your comments on that as well. Top teams in each conference, we went through that. I think the East is a very sneaky conference. So, I don't know, I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. And then obviously talking about Kobe Bryant here in the end, I think, like I said, Kobe's probably one of the top 10 best players in the NBA. So he will surely be missed. It's just a matter of, you know, enjoying the last ride here from Kobe and being able to appreciate all the things that he's done for us. So that's it, folks. Please continue to download the Anything and Everything Sports podcast. Again, my name is Mr. Leon, and I hope to see you next time. Peace.